Now. Real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
We should have actually had the sound effect of the American National Anthem. AJ, we failed miserably on this topic. We should have had the American National Anthem playing while I was reading this out. Oh, say can we see in the dawn? No, I'm not even going to attempt that because I'll kill it. And I'll insult all the Americans all over the world. But I don't know if you're looking ahead to the next term of office with Donald Trump. He's back in the building again, back at the helm as of Monday. We want to hear from you. Are you optimistic about what this could mean for Ireland in the coming years, and what could it mean for the world, not just America? Trump's policies have always been a mix of bold economic moves, strong stances on immigration, and a focus on America first, I suppose. It kind of reshaped, you know, international trade and diplomatic relations. I mean, his administration tax cuts and deregulatory agenda were credited with spurring economic growth in the United States, but they also led to an increased tensions in global trade. For Ireland, which has a significant economic relationship with the United States, especially in the tech and pharmaceutical sectors, these policies could have a very bad ripple effect. Will there be more investment opportunities, or might we see challenges when Trump starts putting his tariffs on, of course, and encourages American companies to come back to America? Remember, of course, we rely on that foreign investment. We rely on those tech companies being in this country. No matter how much we might dislike them and give out about them not paying tax, they're still paying more tax than everybody else. So what do you think? Are you hopeful or concerned about Trump's next term and its impact on the world globally? Do you think he's a good pick, or do you think it'll be a disaster for the next 4 years? Let me know what you think. Somebody says, "Not what's your opinion?" Unless you're daft and you don't watch the podcast, you know exactly what my opinion on it is. Let me go to Peter Dooley, if I can, who's from the Dublin Renters Union. Peter, hi, how are you?
How you know? How you keeping?
Good. I mean, Donald Trump will be sworn in 12 o'clock American time on Monday, which is about, either be live on television 5 or 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock, is that right? 5 or 6? I can't remember. I can never remember Eastern Standard Time. Anyway, he'll be sworn in and we can all watch it on television. That's provided he lives that long, because, of course, there has been more threats on his life. But Peter, is it a good thing for the world in America, or is it a bad thing for the world in America?
Listen, Niall, you know, you need to throw your arms up at this stage. We've after having 4 years of Joe Biden creating nearly World War III, economic chaos in Europe, energy crisis and all the other crises, immigration chaos as well. And we're coming into the Trump presidency. So I don't know. I think we're heading into, I don't know. I think we're in the world is in the, as Shadow Casey said in the Play on the Stars, he said the world is in a state of Chelsea. I think that's generally where it is at the moment.
What are we saying this is a Hobson? Are we saying it was a Hobson's choice? I mean, it couldn't be much worse. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, the way it is, they're both millionaires. Trump, multimillionaire, real estate mogul, deal maker, both guys that are there for Wall Street. Like, so I think Trump has a different idea. Trump wants to be more protectionist, wants to have a...
Well, he wants to run the country like a business, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, exactly.
It's not maybe such a bad thing, by the way. We could do a bit of that.
Well, absolutely. I think the idea of having a good... to put in your interest your country first, I think, are a very good idea. But the other side of it, looking at it, is if you look at Trump, for instance, he can't necessarily play to that, what he's trying to push, because, you know, American exports have a huge impact around the world, and we see all the issues with Irish exports to the US, for instance. Nearly $50 or $60 billion per year is exported back to the US, and the vast majority is through medical companies and pharmaceutical companies.
Yeah, but if he's going to put tariffs on those, which he says he is, by the way, he said he's going to put tariffs on, you know, stuff that's already produced in America that's coming into America, that might invariably force many of those companies back to America again.
I don't think it's going to be necessarily that. I think what could happen is, like, I'm not a big fan of big corporations, as you know, Noel, and the power they have, the wield in society as well, like, especially in Ireland. Like, and, you know, they should always pay their fair share of taxes.
Well, I don't always buy that argument. Yes, they should pay their fair share of taxes. But the reason they're here is because they're not paying their fair share of taxes, right? But in saying that, they still pay more tax than we do, you know, in the big scheme of things. You know, so there's a small amount of companies paying most of the tax in this country, and most of those are not Irish. Most of them are not Irish. So look what we're enjoying because of it.
But then the other side of it, Noel, is that the wealth is getting deepening inequalities. Like, there's more wealth being funneled up to the top with more tax breaks. Already, Trump is talking about today. I saw one of the Senate hearings today, and his future Treasury member of his cabinet is talking about more tax breaks for billionaires. Like, so, like, again, it's going to be more more of the same, more tax breaks, more tax cuts to the very rich and wealthy already. Well, you know,
he also talks about tax cuts for the ordinary people too. He did say he'd bring taxes down and the cost of living down.
Yeah, but like if you look at it as well, like a lot of this could be rhetoric, because if you look at the facts now, like, you know, like Musk obviously has a big impact in his cabinet.
I don't know how long that relationship's going to last. I think that's all going to end up in tears. Musk has said he wants to buy a house beside him now. He's like his new long lost brother, you know. But I think that'll end up in tears, that relationship.
Well, I think so. I think he's currently in it. I think he's currently in a guest house in Mar-a-Lago. Like, so I'm sure the guest house in Mar-a-Lago is probably quite a lucrative place. It won't be like
a bed sitting right mines now for any space rent.
No.
Well,
it won't be paying the rent for.
Well,
it.
I've been down Palm Beach in that particular street. Right when I was away on holidays, yeah. I went down to have a look and have a nosy, you know. And on that particular street, or I think it's called West Palm Beach Avenue or whatever it is, right? You won't buy a house for less than 40 million. So I'm just, you know, I'm just saying these are not kips by any stretch of it.
Absolutely. But they tend to look at it like, even look at it, because to go back to the brass tacks and the basic economic issues at the moment, even the United States, like with the end of the Biden administration, like you've seen chaos in the United States, nearly 800,000 people, record homelessness in America, the minimum wage. Trump is also saying he wants to keep the minimum wage down, but as I said, he's backed down on a few of those promises already. Like there's a very important visa that they're trying to bring more immigrants in, and he's trying to say, well, I'm clamping down on immigrants, but what he's doing is actually opening the door to more cheaper labor coming in from abroad as well. And Musk has already said that he wants more people to come in from abroad as well to work in the United States as well.
I don't think there's any harm in wanting people to come in and work in the United States, just like we do here in Ireland. We need workers from all over the world to come in, but to come in by a legitimate process.
Yeah, but at the same time, you have to look at what the conditions are for the people in Ireland, the conditions of people are in the United States as well. Where are we investing in education and give opportunities to people who are in the countries themselves? Mm-hmm. And that's really what we should be doing, lift the people up rather than keeping people down.
What about his latest effort? Mind you, he's not the first to try and take Greenland. Other American presidents have done it. They're kind of making it out like Donald Trump is the first person to ever do this. Other presidents have also tried to do that. But the latest thing, of course, is Canada being the 51st state. And Trudeau resigning.
Ireland's nearly the 52nd at this stage.
Do you think he'll acquire Canada? I don't think the Canadian people would be too happy with some of them. Do you think he'll acquire Canada as the 51st state?
If you look at it right, there is this idea of, like, the way the world's going at the moment. If you look at the bigger geopolitical picture, you see the move towards the BRICS alliance. I suppose you're fully aware with Russia, China, and the influence they have. Hence, we have a proxy war in Ukraine because of this, because of the influence of China and Russia as well. And like what Trump generally, I think what he could be looking at doing is possibly looking at Greenland. But they've already an American base in Greenland, and that's part of the doctrine to have this greater America idea, which it again ties into the imperialism. Like previously, what the Americans would do is go in and blow the hell out of countries and attack them and say there's humanitarian interventions. We saw the illegal wars in Iraq, Yugoslavia, other countries as well. And now what Trump is doing, he sent his son over last week and he's saying, well, can we buy you?
can we have it, please?
They're
all smiling.
Greenland.
Yeah,
make Greenland great again, hats and stuff as well. So like, what's important there is, what's important really behind that, is the minerals in Greenland. Like obviously it's gonna fuel this green economy that they're pushing towards as well. It's gonna fuel there's issues there as well with the reserves in terms of oil on top of reserves.
Yeah, drill baby drill. What do you say? Drill baby drill.
Yeah, exactly. So you have those regions as well as there's a route there as well in terms of trade as well. It's all about oil, really. Fundamentally, it's about trade. And
yeah,
really
I think Trump's term of office will be, and I think he'll pave the way, by the way, for another Republican after him, probably. But his term of office will be good for America, but not probably good for the rest of the world.
Well, you don't know. I think the way it
financially,
is,
I'm talking financially.
Well, financially, yeah, but you look at it from an Ireland perspective. Like, you look at the Irish perspective in terms of the European Union. Like, look what's happened by tying our wagon to the United States, for instance, with the foreign direct investment for years and years and multinationals. It's really made our own economy impotent. Like, all our resources, our industries are really destroyed. We don't encourage young people with ideas to actually create businesses here and support them to generate businesses here and jobs and employment. And what we do is we actually we open the door as to make it a tax haven model to invite vulture funds into Ireland, like international investors, that profit off the housing crisis, all the misery of ordinary people, and at the same time, then we have the immigration chaos to provide more cheap labour for those big employers to make more money. It's just lunacy what's going on. And then
just finally before I go to Mike, in relation to Donald Trump. I mean, he talks about making America great again. Oh, sorry, there was a question I was going to ask and it was gone completely out of my head, so I'm going to go to Mike. Mike, how are we doing, Mike? Sorry, Mike.
Good evening, Niall.
Good evening, Mike. How are you? Mike,
good, no,
do you think Donald Trump, you know, taking the helm on Monday, is it a good thing for America and the world, or is it a bad thing?
Niall, I think it's great because if we look back to the last time he was there, America was absolutely flying it. And the last time he was there...
Well, some would argue with that, but go on, yeah. It wasn't... To be fair, it wasn't really flying it. I mean, it was initially when he took over, but then, of course, COVID hit, and that put every country in financial deficit. So, you know, it wasn't really flying it. By the end of the term, obviously, America were financially in a lot of trouble because COVID cost a lot of money. But that wasn't his fault. I'm not suggesting it was.
Oh, yeah, but the whole world was in the same... scenario, Niall.
Yeah, no, I know.
But Niall, I know people are worried about Trump, like with all these American companies, in case you try bringing the business back to America. But the last time he was in power, he didn't do that. So I don't think he'll do it this time either.
Yeah, but this is going to be a very different Donald Trump presidency than the last Donald Trump presidency. And by his own admission, when he walked into the door of the Oval Room, he sat there wondering, what am I supposed to do now? Because he'd never been president before, had no idea what a president's meant to do. And he hired a load of people for his administration and he had no clue who he was hiring. He took advice and he said they were all useless. He's now being very thoughtful about who he's hiring. It'll be a very different administration and it's going to be a very different presidency in relation to tariffs and everything else. He's had 4 years to think about this. So it is going to be a very different administration to the last one.
Exactly, Niall. And Niall, we all learn from our mistakes and we all get wiser as we get older. So I think Donald is going to do a lot better job this time.
Mm. In relation, by the way, sorry, just coming back to Peter, the question I was going to ask you was in relation to St. Patrick's Day. This is a bit awkward, isn't it? Because every Irish leader, including Micheál Martin, has said nothing but disparaging comments about him. Mary Lou had disparaging comments about him. Simon Harris called him a gowl and also, you know, showed off his Kamala Harris hat during the elections. So clearly weren't his supporters. So they have had nothing good to say about him. And do you think they're going to get invited to the White House on the 17th of March?
Well, I've nothing good to say about Micheál Martin or Simon Harris either. Like,
Hang on, Mike. By the way, if any American administration are listening, I will gladly take up the invitation, and on behalf of the Irish people, I will deliver the shamrock to the White House. Yeah, sorry, Peter. Mike, hang on, Mike, for a second. Peter, just what you're saying. Who are they going to send over to represent Ireland? But none of those gals will be going over.
You know, it's going to be Micheál Martin, a great dictator that's going to get appointed now next week on the 22nd in Leinster House with the support of the Michael Lowry led rural regional independent
technical group.
Yeah.
There's nothing very technical about them, is there really?
I'll say no comment on that. Like, you know, they'll backtrack and everything for the Merks and Perks. Like, that's what they all are. Like, they're all about power and privilege. These politicians, they're not interested in any principles. Principles are out the window. Like, the same as the points would be with Micheál Martin when he lands up at the White House with his bowl of shamrock and he'll be getting a nice pat on the head and, you know, he'd be licking, the bowl of shamrock and advance the kids. Like, it's pathetic, like, but they'll all be there. Like, that's the way it works, Noel. Like, as George Carlin said, it's a big club and we're not in it. Or it's a small club and we're not in it. Like, you know, they'll all sidle up to each other. And they'll all play the game. Like, already Harris has called him an awful gowl. But now he's after saying, well, you know, we didn't mean that. I meant that.
I didn't mean it. That's not the first time he said something derogatory about him. Mary Lou said he was a racist and a misogynist. Micheál Martin made remarks about him when he made some comment in the Senate going back a while ago and said the comments he made were racist as well. You know, none of them have anything good to say about him.
Well, absolutely. But listen, they couldn't stop fawning over Joe Biden. And that's what I find the hypocrisy of it. Like, you know, Joe Biden, who brought us, as I said, in the verge of World War III, look what happened in Ukraine. The Middle East, $20 billion was given across to Israel last year, for instance. Like, you know what I mean, in terms of the genocide. I would say the genocide that took place.
Yeah, but it's a coincidence, by the way, that they were getting a ceasefire just the day before he's been elected, mind you. And yet the lefties won't give him any credit for it.
No, but obviously it's interesting. But you wonder why Netanyahu now is looking for a ceasefire in this. Like, you know what I mean? This is only just a stalling gap.
Yeah, but Donald Trump did demand that the kidnappers released, that Hamas released those who had been kidnapped before Sunday.
Absolutely. But you know what it's all about, Noel. Like, it's all about getting yourself in a position so you can get more money and power and get more money and whatever you want to do. But like even the United States, even what's happening in Ukraine, like he did say in 24 hours he stopped the war. But already his national security advisor has said that they now should look at reducing the age of people that are brought forward into the Ukrainian army to be used as cannon fodder up to 18. And we know what's happened in that war. That war is a complete and absolute proxy war.
Well, that war will end before March, I guarantee. But stay there, Peter, just a second. Sorry, Mike, you want to say something there quickly. Go ahead before I go into the break.
Niall, since you're breaking across into politics, I was very disappointed you didn't get in. I was hoping you would, because, Niall, this country needs independence in a bad way, because what's there is poison. And you're on about this ball of shamrock going over to America. Do you know what? I hope for all our sakes and for all our pockets, I hope Donald Trump tells them all to stay at home, because it's only a waste of money every year they go over with this ball of shamrock. They only go over for a good time. You had Varadkar the last time going over and bringing his boyfriend with him, and we all paying for it. Just breaking the country. It's just an absolute disgrace the way they're squandering money. And Niall, on about politics, that cabbage head, Eamon Ryan, is gone after all the harm he did.
I don't. Michael O'Leary called him a cabbage head, and he objected to that, so I wouldn't be calling him names now, to be honest with you. But go on. But he's gone anyway. There's no point in talking about him.
Yeah, he's gone. Like, you know, and look, all the harm he did, like closing down Brick Factory Board.
Okay, let's not get into Irish politics. Let's stick to American politics. So you don't think any of them are worthy of bringing over the bowl of shamrock?
I hope they don't go, Niall. It's just wasting taxpayers' money. Like.
Well, it is kind of hypocrisy, isn't it?
It is. And like,
because all they've ever done is give out about them.
But you know what I can't figure out, Niall, right? They're there talking about poor old Donald Trump there, this Stormy Daniels one at the minute, right? We'll talk about Donald for a minute. They're all criticising him. They're all giving out. They're all hating. Stormy Daniels was having her little bit of fun with the boss man, the new boss man, right? Everything was great. She's getting money. So then when it all stops, what does she do? She goes to the media just to try and get more money. But Bill Clinton, everybody loved him. And when the Monica Lewinsky thing came out, everybody still loved him. So why don't they love poor old Donald?
Donald, I love the way you call him Donald. Do me a favour, have to go to a break. Well, obviously he's been found guilty in that particular case, and according to the judge he will have that criminal charge forever on him, although unless he appeals it, of course, to a higher court, which I'm sure he will. Anyway, the number is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. The question we're simply asking you is Donald Trump becoming the president of America on Monday a good thing or a bad thing? I just said to my producer during the break there, we're going to get a hashtag going. Niall will bring the shamrock. Let me go to Donald, because some people think I have a lot of faith in our Irish politicians to bring it over. Donald, hi, how are you? Oh, Donald, do you want to move your face or head or something there? Your phone line is a bit dodge. Okay, that's not going to work out, Donald. You actually sound like you're on another planet. Peter, are you still there? Have I lost you too?
Oh yeah, I'm still here, Noel.
Yeah, okay. Maybe it is just Donald's phone. It must be just Donald's phone. Donald, are you there? Okay. Okay, AJ, you're going to have to get Donald back on the line. Unfortunately, his phone line is not great. Peter, I'm finding it difficult, I'm not going to lie to you, to find anybody who thinks it's a bad idea that Donald Trump got in. But maybe that's just because, as I said to you earlier on, it was a Hobson's choice. It was either that or Kamala or Joe. So, you know, and I don't think anybody wanted either one of those in. So for Americans, I know it's democracy, you know, but was it a Hobson's choice?
Well, yeah, well, you look at it, like, as I said, it's like, they talk about the world's greatest democracy, but it's millionaires. You have to be absolutely loaded to even consider going for presidency in the first place. I think Kamala Harris, they were all saying, congratulating her, and saying the amount that she raised for her election was the biggest amount that was ever raised by any candidate. But
look at the amount of wastage. Look at the amount of waste. She paid influencers ridiculous amounts of money. She even set up a studio in a hotel that cost $30,000 to replicate a studio for some influencer for podcasts. I mean, she spent ridiculous money.
But that's it. But like, she was a complete non-entity, like, for the 4 years.
Where is she now? Where's she gone? Where did she go?
I didn't have a clue. I don't think she had a clue where any other country was, apart from the United States, to be honest with you. She didn't have a... Internationally, she didn't have a clue. you know, about what was going on. And she went hiding, and only was put back into the fold when they realised that Joe Biden wasn't up to the task of even facing re-election. Like,
well, this is the same Joe Biden. If you dared to even say that about Joe Biden before she was obviously brought in, you were told you were wrong. Of course, Joe is sharp as a tack, we were told.
But that shows you in Ireland. Like, in Ireland, they have this. It's just nonsense. The media are completely, the vast majority of the media are completely captured by the Democrats and by the Biden regime. But that's what I would say. The whole woke agenda as well. Like, it's just off the wall. We've seen that happen in Ireland, like, you know, in the last few, especially since Harris went for election as well. It was lunacy. It was like saying he was the biggest threat to anything happening in the world. Trump, this is just like scaremongering to, you know, to the nth degree. Like, the bottom line is that they all represent the very wealthy. Like, I don't see a massive change in what they're trying to do. There's a different approach in terms of what Trump's trying to do compared to Biden as well. But again, it's really about looking after the super rich, and that's what they're doing. Like, Biden said today that the oligarchs, you know, it's a small cabal, you know, a concentrated power with the oligarchs. It's the exact same with the Biden regime. So it's really like there's no massive difference. Like, you look the difference for the bread and butter issues for the ordinary people in America, the ones who are really suffering.
Well, I think well, most Americans, all they care about is their pocket, because, you know, I did a radio show going back about 6 years ago when Trump was president. In Florida, I did a radio show for a day, and I had callers on the air like I was doing this show. And we were talking about Donald Trump, and I was asking them why they were so happy to see him elected, and they said because they had more money in their pockets. And that was the answer I got all the time. That's all they want. They want more money in their pockets.
Like, I know myself. I lived in America years ago as well. Lived there as well for a time as well. And they, like, a lot don't travel outside America. So they just think the world is in the United States. So they don't see anything beyond it. And you talk to them about foreign policy, and they look at you with two heads. It's not because of them. It's because of, you know, it's everything is really for them in the United States, for instance. Like, they always say it's a land of opportunity, but unfortunately, so many people are left behind. You've seen the homelessness really hit me when I was in America, when I saw the people on the streets and people in New York, everywhere, like people who are struggling. Like, you know, but now it's at huge levels. Like, even last week when you saw the wildfires in Los Angeles, the fires taking place as well in Los Angeles, and then nobody talks about the tent encampments that were, and the multimillionaire houses that burned. Like, you know, it's obviously dreadful for anybody's home to get burned, and there's already working class people in that area as well. Like, it's not all the multimillionaires. But the other side of it is this huge, like, Skid Row tent encampment everywhere, and nobody talks about it. There's no, like, you know, wall-to-wall coverage. There's no RTE correspondent over outside talking to, you know, somebody, for instance, who's living in a cardboard box. They're talking to some fella who has three or four houses and saying how horrible it is for him to lose his home.
Oh, okay, well, stay there for a second. Let me go to Bernie as well. Bernie, hi, how are you?
I'm grand, Niall. What do you want to ask me now?
Yeah, are you? What way am I going to word it? Will it be a good 5 year or 4 years, or will it be a bad 4 years? That's, by the way, that's another question we must ask the Irish presidency. We need to change it. 7 years is too long. 4 years is plenty. Sorry, Bernie.
Just as a by question, can anyone be the president of Ireland? Do you have any special?
You have to be nominated by the council by so many councils.
You have to be over 35,
and you have to be over 35 years of age. But that's not such a bad thing. You don't want any gobshites, 23-year-old gobshites. I want to be the president. So that's not such a bad thing.
I'll be the first to nominate you now for presidency. Me too.
Yeah, but unfortunately, you can't nominate me, you know, and neither can Bernie. Yeah, I mean, unless the two of you...
Why can't we?
Oh, because you're not head of the council. Well, I'd have to get... Look, I don't. If I wanted to run for presidency, I don't think I'd have an issue getting nominated. Let's just put it like that.
Yeah.
I might have already looked at that. I might have already looked at that. Anyway, the I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, I'm just kind of looked at it. That's all. But here's the thing, running for presidency, no, like America, as Peter pointed out, running for presidency is quite an expensive thing to do. You know what I mean? And unfortunately, you're quite limited because, you know, even if you've got wealthy friends, which I don't, by the way, but if you've got wealthy friends, they're limited in how much money they can give you. They can only give you €1,000. I think we need to change that a little bit because, of course, inflation and times have moved on. So we probably need to change that rule a little bit, maybe increase it to 5,000 or something like that. I don't know, particularly when it comes to the presidency, because, you know, it's hard enough running for the EU elections and the money you will spend doing that. But when you're trying to promote yourself in, you know, 26 counties, you know, that's a lot more difficult. You know, you've got a lot more money to spend.
Absolutely. You know,
yeah.
I get you.
Yeah, the silly thing, the most expensive part is putting up posters. Anyway, getting back to Donald Trump, Bernie, is it a good next 4 years or a bad next 4 years? Are you optimistic or pessimistic?
Okay, so I'll start out. We either had the orange guy or we had Kamala Harris. And, you know, that's all I thought. Okay, so I have no truck with America at all. I don't have anything about their politics. I know about, there's so many different facets of America. But I put it like this. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and see how he gets on.
Mm.
He talks a lot of talk and he talks a lot of sense, which I'd love to see happening. But will he be able to pull it off? I don't know.
Yeah, but the politics is complicated in America. It's not as easy as him just saying, I'm going to do something. Mind you, he obviously has the House as well. So he does have the ability to do quite a lot now this time around, whereas he didn't the last time around. So he has more power this time.
Yeah, I honestly, Niall, for me, I'm going to stand and look on the sidelines. That's where I'm going. Mm. I have a friend who passed away. She was a nurse in Boston and she absolutely loved him the last time. She thought he was the best thing since the loaf and she kept going for him. But then she was working her ass off and, you know, she was trying to have this lifestyle that you don't have here. So, you know, she was earning the money. She was making hard money, you know, working all these clinics and all these things. She hadn't time to have her life because she wanted to live in this bubble where you have money. Money is God. And, you know, she came home to Ireland, bought a property here, bought another property, went back over, made more money. You know, it was kind of endless. The work with America was like that, but the dream. But is it a reality? No, I don't think so.
Mm. So you don't think the American dream is a reality, that the land of opportunity, as they call it? No.
No, I mean, listen, we all know of people who went to America in days gone by on terrible ships and starving and whatever. And, you know, their life, they had to work really, like 7 days a week in the 20s, 30s, 40s and 50s. And they lived in tenements and they lived in, you know, seven men in a room. And if they got home at all, they were lucky. But they did it for to send money home. And they sent letters home that reflect that their lifestyle wasn't all in glory. Now, a lot of people made good. A lot of people went out there and they had fantastic lives. But again, it's not to me the land of opportunity. I find America false anyway.
Mm.
I think it's like Disney World dressed up. You know, that's how it comes to me, because, you know, you talk about everything. Americans are, have a nice day. It's so pot, and it's not. Everyday life is not like that in any other country in the world.
Okay, well, do me a favor, stay there for a second because I want to go to Donald because he's sitting in his van.
You know, you talk about everything. Americans are having a nice day. It's so pot, and it's not. Everyday life.
Donald, are you there? Donald, hi, how are you doing? Sorry, Donald is listening to the radio. Hello, Donald.
Niall, how are you?
Good, Donald. So if you could turn down your radio, that'd be great. Donald, because Bernie heard herself there and she thought she sounded great. But Donald, is it a good thing or a bad thing for America that Donald Trump is the president for the next 4 years?
I don't think it's simple as that. Life isn't as black and white as some of the media would like it to portray it. You know, okay, he has his flaws, but I think he's straightened up a lot of America that needed to be straightened up. And I know maybe everybody isn't full of high moral people or attitude like he is, but he's not a bad, bad guy. I don't think he, I won't say corrupt is the wrong word, but I don't think he's as bad, for lack of the word, as some of the people would like to portray him. You know, and there's a lot of scaremongering going on.
Of course there is. It always is.
We'll lose a lot of jobs and things like that. But I know a lot of companies from Ireland that have a substantial workforce in America. So a lot of Irish companies are providing a lot of employment in America as well. So it's not a one-way street.
No, I get that absolutely. But do you believe economically it could be very difficult, or he could make it very difficult for the European Union and for Ireland? Because we very much depend, actually 20 billion euros worth of dependency on American companies being here.
Well, it's like this. The American companies need the European market.
Well, they don't. Some of them do. Some of the likes of the pharmaceutical companies for distribution, they do. But some of the tech companies don't need to be here. They can operate from anywhere in the world, for as long as they speak English.
Well, yeah, but they're not paying a lot of tax, so, you know.
Mm.
You know.
Well, if he offers them a sweet deal to come back, you know, and no tariffs, because this is his plan, isn't it, to put tariffs on these companies?
Yeah, it would want to be a very, very sweet deal.
Mm-hmm.
It would want to be a very, very sweet deal. I don't think that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very sensational, and, you know, I think he doesn't get the credit that he deserves. I know a very good friend of mine. He's a dual Irish-American citizen, and he had a vote online before the election, and I asked him, we voted for one day, absolutely without doubt, Donald Trump.
Mm.
Because the choice wasn't fantastic. And
no, true.
I think your previous speaker said it there. Like, since time began, it was all the wealthy, wealthy people whose daddies were either head of multinational companies or head of armed businesses, or daddies were senators or congressmen. Like, he really is bucking the trend to a degree. And you have to give the guy credit. He's nearly 80 years of age or thereabouts.
Oh, fit as a fiddle. And he's fit as a fiddle.
Yeah, still, and he's strong. And it's not physical strength, he's not, but he is mentally strong and determined. You know,
unlike his predecessor, who I don't think would have lasted another term.
Yeah, no. Correct. Yeah, mm. Right. I think he'd be overall pretty good. I think he will. Mm-hmm. Look, he's a realist. There's a lot of politics and there's a lot of economics, and there's a balance to be achieved. It's not bringing all the international or the American companies back to America. That's never going to happen. It might be some of them go back. I would say the majority would stay because the conditions here in Ireland are very good and they're not going to get a better deal in America.
Do me a favour, stay there for a second, Donald, because I want to, and stay there, Bernie and Peter. I want to just bring Frank in as well. Okay. Frank, you're not so optimistic.
No, I'm not, actually. I think it's going to be a terrible next 4 years with Donald Trump being the president of America.
Okay.
Because people think that we did trade with America there last year, the year before, of something like 65 billion euros worth of trade went from Ireland to America. Now, if Donald Trump decides, say, for argument's sake, decides to put a 10% tariff on all the items that go to America, it's going to screw the Irish economy over, I think, anyway. Because we don't pay it. It's paid by the American people. And the American people talk with their wallets. And they're not going to they're going to turn around and say, fuck this, I'm not paying, say for your friend, say, I'm not paying this.
Yeah, I mean, I just give people an example. The simple thing. You walk into Walmart, already the likes of, say, Kerrygold butter is, you know, more expensive than local butter. But if he's going to put a tariff on it being imported into the country, it's going to be twice the price. So, realistically, it'll be left on the shelf, is what you're saying to me.
Yeah. Basically, because they don't forget, even when it's brought over to America, it has to be paid, the tariff has to be paid at source. So when it lands in, say, New York or whatever harbour it lands, they have to pay the tariff there and then before they're able to take it. And then you have to add on the people who are actually taking it will have add on their cost of transporting it to Walmart or to wherever it's going to. And then when it lands there, then they have to put their margin on that as well, because they're not gonna lose money on it.
No, as well as the local, as well as the local sales tax of 8% on it as well. Yeah.
So you're talking. So let's say it's 2% landing in New York. By the time it gets to the shelf, they're probably talking about 8 or 10% mm-hmm. on top of that. So
you think that's going to be very damaging to the Irish economy? What about, you know, I said to Donald there a few minutes ago about American companies in Ireland who don't need to be in Ireland, particularly the tech companies, whatever about the pharmaceutical companies who might need to be in Europe for distribution. The tech companies don't need to be here. They can be anywhere in the world.
Well, you take the top four as in the companies. They pay something like 45% of the revenue to the Irish state every year. So if they decide tomorrow, next week, or the, you know, say, fuck this, I'm going back to America, think about all that money that's been taken out of the country, plus not just the money that's
been paying. 19 billion last year,
the employment as well. Yeah. They paid something like 20, I think, I can't remember how much, but they paid a lot of money into the, they paid the most, I think it's 45% of the money, of the revenue into the country every year. Plus, you think about all the employment they give as
but
well.
Will they go back? Here's the thing. Donald believes there's a bit of scaremongering going on there, that they won't go back. That, you know, Donald Trump won't offer them the sweet deal in corporation tax to get them back into the country, or the tariffs might not be enough to put them off, if indeed that he puts tariffs on them. So, and I don't know how he can with the tech companies. So do you believe that'll actually happen, or is that a bit of a doomsday prediction?
Look, it could be a doomsday thing, but at the same time, that we have to think about it, because if we don't think about it and stick our head in the sand and they just say it's going to go away, it's not going to happen, you're going to put yourself in the wrong footing, because you have to think about it. Because at the end of the day, say it did happen and the other side, you know, because there's nothing really keeping them here, really, only for the tax deal they're getting. Other than that, they could pack up the bags and go tomorrow. And, you know, what is the backup plan if they did?
Yeah, let me go back. Hang on, let me go back to Donald on that. Donald, what is the backup plan? Let's say they do and the doomsday scenario happens. What is the backup plan?
Well, the first thing about your previous speaker there, Frank, he said that your man's going to, fair enough, I take his point about the 2% and 10%. You're talking about a trade war at that stage, and you're not talking about a trade war with Ireland. You're talking about a trade war with the EU.
Well, I'm not just saying with Ireland, but I'm saying across Europe and across the rest of the world.
Yeah, but
it's not just Ireland. See, I'm thinking that the world economy could go big tank because of the trade war.
Okay. I do understand there's economies at risk, but Donald Trump is not going to risk a trade war. No man in his right mind is going to do that. There's too much at stake for America as well.
Didn't he in theory give out a plan there at one stage, going back a while ago, where he said American people shouldn't be paying tax, and that the companies are the ones who should be paying tax? So this was his plan, his bigger plan, that, you know, if you charge enough tariffs, and he talked about, you know, previous presidents going back 50, 60 years ago, you know, wanted to bring in these kind of tariffs, but there was an objection to it at the time, and they brought in the income tax system. So in other words, if you have enough tariffs coming in from the corporate sector, you don't have to charge the people income tax.
But the thing about it is, the people of America are the ones going to pay for it. It's the people at source. The people, American people, are the ones who pay the tariffs. It's not the Irish companies or me or...
I know, yeah, because they're paying the extra for the goods on the shelves.
They themselves are paying for it. So that's the whole point of a tariff.
Well, yeah, but isn't the tariff, the only idea of the tariff is to put tariffs on goods that are not already available in America. So locally sourced goods won't have tariffs on them. So, you know, people would just buy locally sourced goods. Sorry, continue, Donald. What were you saying to Frank?
I just think it's not going to happen. I think it's not. Like, Donald Trump, at the end of the day, he's a politician. And politicians are full of rhetoric. And
well, he's not really a politician. He's a businessman, isn't he?
Well, yeah. Well, he's a bit of both. But there's no way he's going to... Look, he's playing the text of the cowboy.
Yeah, Bernie, go ahead. Before I have to go into a break. Go ahead, ask your question.
You're all saying, we're all hoping that this won't happen. However, do we have a backup plan if it does happen? What happens to Ireland?
We don't have... I don't think we have a backup plan.
Why are we not feathering our own nest or getting ready just in case of the worst case scenario? Do we go back to the 60s where we were all emigrating again and have to leave the island? Or have we got something more sustainable for ourselves now?
Well, Peter, you wanted to answer that there. You know, that's a good question that Bernie raises. If indeed, as Frank suggests, America will screw Europe financially, and they could screw Ireland, and you know as well as I do how much tax they pay in this country, they pay the lion's share of it. You know, if they do pull out of Ireland, which is a doomsday scenario, but do we have a backup plan? We don't, do we?
No, these idiots in charge, and that's, to be honest with you, are completely clueless, because they've hitched their wagon completely to the United States. Even now, Peter Burke, the Enterprise Minister, is saying, well, we have Enterprise Ireland over there. We have, we have whatever grants we're going to offer X, Y, and Z to the United States. But the big thing is our own industries and resources. They've deliberately done this through the European Union, and the European Union has become a vassal of the United States. And what's generally going to happen now, Noel, there's a couple of things, right? First thing is, your previous caller was right about the inflationary pressures in the United States. They're going to pay for this if they're going to put tariffs on. But what he's going to do is probably stop expansion plans for all these tech and pharma companies, say, in Ireland. So any plans they have to expand in Ireland are going to be out the window. So he's going to create jobs in the United States, manufacturing jobs. He's not going to close everything. I doubt that's going to happen. But the second thing is an important one, and I think nobody's talked about it, is the issue around the social media companies. You saw last week with Facebook saying like Mark Zuckerberg doing a U-turn on silence and free speech during COVID and all this sort of stuff. Anything that went against the narrative was all silence. And now he's trying to, you know, jump on the Trump.
Of course he was, yeah. He doesn't want to fall out with Donald Trump, does he? He's now the leader of the country.
Absolutely, yeah. But it's creating an issue in Europe, because Europe now is looking at it and thinking, well, you know, you've seen it now with Commissioner Naman in Ireland as well, Noel. You've talked about with the hate speech and all the rest of it. They're trying to target misinformation, disinformation. And the biggest purveyors of misinformation and disinformation is the political classes, who are always constantly lying to the people and the media. Propagandists for in the big world.
Okay, but you still haven't asked the question. We'll have a minute before the break here, Peter. Back to the question. As Frank says, if they screw us over, Bernie asked a fair question, which is, do we have
there's no backup plan?
There's no backup plan.
No, the backup.
Yeah,
no
we're back.
Plan,
we're back to the 1980s. We're back to the 1980s, aren't we?
Yeah,
no,
we are. It's
got to be. Yeah, but there's no backup plan. We've no resources. No proper domestic industries. Like what, you know, all our resources have been sold off. Like what resources and domestic industries we have. We had a fantastic fisheries industry. We had an agricultural industry. We had a glass bottle industry, sugar industry. We can go on and go on and go on. And many industries that we have that we sold off and we privatized through the European Union. And we have absolutely nothing, no, very little employment. And most of the money in Ireland is wrapped up in property, real estate investments and all this sort of stuff. And big tech, big pharma companies. And if that all shuts doors tomorrow, good luck. You know,
okay, sorry, Bernie, quickly. Go on, I'll get to the break. Go on, Bernie, what do you want to say?
Yeah, that's what I feel. Like I said, we're not prepared. We have nothing in our, you know, and he's coming in on Monday. So what have we got as a backup plan if he does turn his hose on Europe?
Yeah, and our new Minister for Foreign Affairs, which is Simon Harris, he's already called Donald Trump a gowl. You know what I mean? So that's a bad start, really, isn't it?
Well, Noel, hang on. We have a future Ireland fund. We have a future. We're safe. We have a future Ireland fund.
I got to go to a break. Donald, Frank, Bernie and Peter. Frank and Donald, if you want to stay with me. Bernie, Peter and Bernie, thank you very much indeed. The number was 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. We're talking about Donald Trump. Do you believe his presidency will be a good thing for the rest of the world and for America? Or will it be a bad thing? Frank thinks it'll screw us over and screw Europe over as well, financially. Just before I come to Rob, Donal, I didn't kind of ask you that question before the break there when Frank talked about, you know, America screwing the rest of the world. We don't have a backup plan, do we? I don't even think Europe has a backup plan apart from argue.
Well, there's really no backup plan, but the one good thing that Ireland has in its favour is a very strong thing. It's an English-speaking country. It has a very, very good education system. And, you know, we've a very good, easily got workforce. And they're not going to get that in the rest of Europe.
Yeah, but they get it in America.
Yeah, but you're talking European markets as well. I don't think so. I think you and me are not going to agree in that.
I don't know. I don't know. I kind of predicted in my New Year's predictions back a couple of weeks ago there that I did believe that when the next... I did say the Irish government won't last 2 years, this particular government won't last 2 years. And I did say the reason they won't last is because I think that Donald Trump and, you know, his trade deals will do a lot of damage to the Irish economy. And that will be the downfall of the Irish government. That's just my prediction. I could be completely wrong.
Yeah. Okay.
Frank seems to agree with me.
I think it's 2 years are giving it too long.
It could be a year, you could be right.
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Do you realize
some of the politicians couldn't even organise a party in a brewery, let alone sort out this kind of mess, I think. Mm. Because Donald Trump, as I said, look, I could be wrong, I could be hopefully proven wrong, I want to be proven wrong.
Yeah, I want to be wrong too.
But I, you know, the rhetoric he's been using leading up to this moment, is he's going around and saying he's going to put 20% tariffs on this, he's going to go to Asia, he's going to put 60, 80% tariffs, whatever it is, on all these different products. And that's not just with Europe or Asia. He's even talking about doing it to his neighbours.
Why Trudeau's resigned.
Well, the thing about it is, it's, you know, we need to actually have, you know, a proper conversation on this, because... You know, as I say, if it is, say, for argument's sake, he does do what he does, and I said it before, what is the Irish government going to do about it? Or, you know, what...
But you are right, Frank. Hang on, but you are right what you said. He doesn't have any empathy or sympathy for any other country's trade because, that, as he rightly says, or as people might think incorrectly, says, make America great again, right? He even mentioned the other day in relation to Canada, you know, that 20% of American automobiles come from Canada. And he said there'll be tariffs slapped on them too. He said, we don't need your cars. So, I mean, we all know that's why Trudeau has resigned now because he knows he's not going to be able to fix that.
Yeah, well, even if there's, I think, I could be wrong, John Deere, which is an American farming company, they do tractors and all that kind of stuff. They're the biggest company in
America. Yeah, they do the quads and everything. Yeah,
everything else, okay? Now, they're talking about moving. Now, I could be wrong. They're talking about moving all their manufacturing down to Mexico to produce all the stuff. And now, I could be wrong, but I thought I heard that, Donald Trump came out and said, that if they do that, that we're going to whack on a 200% tariff and everything that's produced brought back in from Mexico.
But he did say the same about a car company going back about 3 or 4 months ago, a car company that was producing cars in Mexico, that they were going to open up this huge manufacturing plant. It could be the same story, maybe. I don't know that we're talking about. And he said he would whack on huge tariffs, and then they turned around then and said, well, we won't be doing it so.
Yeah. No, so the thing is, I could be wrong here, but I remember watching a program about.
But he is right. But Frank, sorry for interrupting you. But he's right to do it, isn't he?
You know what? Let me put it this way, okay? You're talking about the car manufacturers in America, okay?
In Detroit,
they do backwards and forwards. They make parts and they send them over to Canada, okay? And kind of do work and send it back. It's just like backwards and forwards, okay? That they do manufacture, made in America, then they send it over to Canada. Canada then work on it, then they send it back to America, backwards and forwards. But that's about 6-7 times, okay? Now, if that happens, okay, that cuts off that part. Don't forget, a lot of the stuff the American need to produce stuff is actually is brought in into America to produce the cars, to produce everything they need. Some of it is brought in from Europe and Asia.
I don't know how he's going to break it all down as to, you know, what actually gets a tariff slapped on it and what doesn't. Stay there, lads, just a second. Let me go to Rob. Sorry, Rob, hi, how are you?
How are you keeping now? Getting hung up a lot on the tariffs and what have you.
Well, it is an important aspect of the whole thing, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, very important, important. But here's the thing, though. I mean, he's going to be very busy. The man is going to be very, very busy. With so much stuff, he's got so much stuff to sort out for the American economy and what have you. And America comes first.
Why don't sort out America, the health system in America, which is absolutely shocking. Like, I was talking to somebody there recently, a friend of theirs living in America. It's costing them $22,000 a year just to have
private health care.
That was great, though, wasn't it?
Private healthcare system, and that's
And Rob, you are right. It has been like that for a long, long time, long before Donald Trump came along. Okay, but sorry, Rob. Just get back to it. Is it a good thing or a bad thing for America for the next 4 years?
Oh, it'd be great, great thing. It's about time they got someone decent in to take over there because your man was a disaster, Sleepy Joe.
I don't think too many people would disagree with that. Yeah.
I mean, he actually fancied running again. I can't see how he could have.
Well, he nearly started World War III, but go on anyway, yeah.
Anyway. This time, though, we have the added extra as well. We're going to have Elon Musk in the White House as well, which is great.
Is that a great thing?
I wouldn't mind so much. He's not even an American. He's from South Africa. So I don't even know how he's getting involved with the American government.
Because he's Donald's, he's Donald's mate. But he's a bit of a loose... hold on for a second. He's a bit of a loose cannon, Rob, is he?
He is, boy. Certainly, as regards the crowd that we have running our country here, he put manners on them, that's for sure, as regards to hate speech. So he's totally against that hate speech thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd be great. I mean, Leisha, that you had on earlier, the barrister, Elon Musk is in the background there, and I have a funny feeling he will tell them here where to get off with that hate speech.
Yeah. Yeah, Leisha was quite good speaking about that earlier on, So you think that's a good relationship with Musk? Some people would disagree with you.
I think it's great.
Well, maybe at the moment, but I have a funny feeling that relationship with Musk and Trump will end in tears.
Yeah,
absolutely. But you see the latest now, of course, TikTok were told to close down America unless it's bought out. And now Elon Musk says he's going to buy TikTok as well. I mean, sometimes you give too much power to one person, you know what I mean? I don't know.
But the other side of it as well, though, people shouldn't be worrying, shouldn't get too hung up here, the way they're going on. You hear some people get hung up on, he's going to be a disaster, he's going to be this, he's going to be that, everything's going to be wrong, and it's a nightmare that Trump has been elected. I don't know how people see that. I really don't. I mean, in his first term, he didn't affect us.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He didn't.
But this is but this is a very different term of office, Rob, where he's doing a lot of different things. It's like a completely different president, to be honest with you.
Well, he also has retribution to sort out, I think, as well. Now he's going to go after people who put him through the ringer the last couple of years with the courts.
Oh yeah, he's named all those people. I'm sorry, Rob, I've completely run out of time. I do apologize.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.